I would like to ask you this morning to take your Bible, please, and turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. You'll find it on page 1192 if you're using the church Bible. 1192, but it's 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11 will be our scripture reading. And I tell you that I'm reading this morning from the English Standard Version. It's close enough to the New King James. You won't have any trouble following it. The word order is the same, and the more I read the ESV, the more it's growing on me. It's getting really tempting not to use it a lot from the pulpit. It's a very good, clear, accurate translation, so who knows? In the near future, we may talk about that at a consistory meeting or something and see about possibly changing over, but I'm not saying we're going to do it because I don't have any approval yet to do such a thing. But anyway, let us stand and read together from second, or you'll follow along as I read from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Hear the word of God. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he's blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May God give His blessing to this reading of His holy, inspired, inerrant, infallible word. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank You for Your word, and we thank You that in our English language we have a choice of translations, and many of us have several of those in our homes to read, to study, and to find out the way of salvation, and to find out Your plan for the way we should live on this earth. And to that end, we pray that You will bless this sermon this morning, that it may be truly a message from Your word to Your people to strengthen us on our journey to our heavenly goal. We pray in Christ's name, His mighty name. Amen. Please be seated. Increasing Strength for Life's Journey is the title this morning. Life for everyone, Christian or not, is a journey with a final destination. Life for a Christian believer is a spiritual journey leading to eternal life and in glory with and because of Jesus Christ. But we Christians are weak people living in a fallen and evil world, so our journey can be perilous as we go through life here. So we need increasing strength for the journey. Where can you find it? And in what form does it exist, that strength? 2 or 3 weeks ago, I watched the Surgeon General of the U.S., Dr. Jerome Adams, discuss the coronavirus from the viewpoint of a medical doctor. Among other pieces of advice, Dr. Adams recommended supplemental vitamins. In other words, we need to supplement our daily diet with vitamins. So I took him at his word. I bought a new bottle of vitamins since my old ones were 2 years out of date. And I started taking them. I remember he said he specially recommended taking vitamin D. I looked on the label of my can of vitamins, my bottle, my newly purchased bottle of vitamins, and I saw by doing that, taking one a day, I would be taking twice the amount of vitamin D that I needed. So I've been doing that faithfully now for the past 2 or 3 weeks. We need supplements to our food, is what he said. Now, that's for physical life. For spiritual strength in a world of spiritual plague, you need supplements also for increasing your strength, for fortifying your spirit, your soul. Our Lord's Apostle Peter furnishes the believer with a list of spiritual supplements or additives that are guaranteed to strengthen you for a successful spiritual journey throughout life. They're guaranteed because these are divine supplements. And they are in verses 5 through 8. I want to read those again now that I've kind of set the stage for that. Verses 5 through 8. Just to take notice again. He says, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith. Or other versions are add to your faith. Supplement your faith, he says, with virtue, and with virtue knowledge, and with knowledge self-control, and with self-control steadfastness, and to steadfastness godliness, and to godliness, brotherly affection, and to brotherly affection, love. There it is. That's his prescription. And he says the outcome of that will be, verse 11, for in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So you could refer to verses 5 through 8 as the Christian's multivitamin. Or you could say that it's like a multivitamin where all of these individual vitamins that he lists there, the seven of them, they're all interlaced in this one multivitamin. But let's examine it, its individual components. That's what I want to do this morning. So first of all, he says in verse 5, supplement or add to your faith. Now, he doesn't say add faith. Faith comes from God. Faith comes from the Word of God. It comes from preaching of the gospel of God, gospel of Christ. So he doesn't say add faith. Faith is where you start. He says supplement your faith. Peter assumes that his readers already are born again and possess a saving faith in Jesus. So in verses 5 through 8, he's not talking about the plan of salvation as such. It's not as if he's saying, well, if I do all these things, I will be able to go to heaven when I die. No, salvation or justification is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he assumes his readers have it. That's why he says, add to your faith. The faith you already have, the faith you already possess, the faith that God has already given to you. Now what you need to do to live a healthy Christian life, you need to add some vitamins to that. So that's what he's talking about here. It's not really the plan of salvation. It's more like the plan of sanctification. Or at least it's a big part of the plan of sanctification. The words at the close of this letter, where Christians are exhorted to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, chapter 3 and verse 18. Now, verses 3 and 4 then lay the foundation for verses 5 through 8. And I want you to take your Bible and look at those verses with me. Because, like I said, they're the foundation. He doesn't just hang verse 5 out there by itself. There's 3, 4, 5. So we got to get to verse 5 from the foundation. Verse 5 says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So God's power and regeneration, our new birth, has already granted us everything that we need for life and for godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us. That's Christ. In verse 4 says, by which He has granted to us, there's the phrase again, granted to us, His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of lust or evil desire. In other words, you as a Christian believer have been given life. You have been made a partaker of the divine nature in your new birth. You now have faith in Jesus as your Lord, your Master, your Savior, your prophet, priest, and King. So Peter says, now that you have that, now that you've received this grant from the Father, take your vitamins. Take your vitamins. Supplement. Add to God's grant. God's grant of faith. Add to that now these spiritual supplements. And there are seven of them. Seven of them. That seems to be the number of completion in Scripture. A lot of things are by sevens in the Bible. We'll see that when we get to the book of Revelation. And the first one is the word virtue. Well, that word just by itself is kind of a puzzling word. A lot of times we don't know exactly what that's defining. He says, add to your faith, first of all, virtue. And that is sometimes translated excellence. The word excellence. And by the way, here at the beginning of his divine prescription for our spiritual strength, Peter will not allow me as a messenger to mislead anyone as to how these strength-giving spiritual supplements work. I don't want to mislead you. I can't if I'm going to be true to this text. Peter says, giving all diligence, or as the ESV says, making every effort. With a physical vitamin supplement, you merely pop it into your mouth, swallow it with a drink of water, and just let it work. You don't have to do anything else. Not so with these spiritual supplements. They don't work that way. This isn't how we make any kind of progress in sanctification. Just popping something into our mind and that's all we need to do. He says, make every effort to add to your faith. And he starts with virtue. He puts a big part of this growing in spiritual strength on you, the believer. I mean, what would it good to go to a doctor and he gives you a medical prescription and you go home and you don't do anything about it? You don't take the medicine. Now, that does happen, too. You know, there are people who, okay, I got to get this. The doctor said so, but I hate this stuff, and I'm not going to take it. Well, that wouldn't do any good. The same way with these spiritual supplements. If we don't do what the doctor says, in this case, Peter, they're not going to do us any good, and our spiritual lives are going to be weak. They're going to be sickly. They're going to be unhealthy. So in order to gain strength for your spiritual journey through this life, you're going to have to give it effort or diligence. You gain strength by practicing certain qualities of the Christian life. So full disclosure, no one said it would be easy, but by God's grace, it's doable. God gives you the grace as a believer to do these things, to practice these things. And so he says, add to your faith virtue. Now, I read pages of commentary on that word, and I think what I came down to was this. It basically means Christ-likeness. Christ-likeness. Add to your faith, that's the word I'll use. Add to your faith Christ-likeness. The word is used in verse 3, for instance, of Christ's excellence, to which believers have been called. It says there in verse 3 at the end, he called us to his own glory and excellence. That's the same word as translated virtue in verse 5. Christ's excellence. His quality of life is to be worked out in your life. And that's Christian discipleship. Working out in practical ways his quality of life in your life. Is your current life showing to the world something of the attractive character of Jesus? Sadly, there are many Christians and professing Christians who do not show anything of the character of Christ to the world around them. And that's very sad for them and for the world that observes their lives. So this is the virtue, the goodness, the excellent, whatever word you want to use, that you must supplement your faith with. Christ-likeness. In how we treat people and how we talk about to people, we need to work out in practical ways, in relationships, at work, at home, at school, what God has already worked in us. Philippians 2:13, where Paul says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for God is at work in you. That's only true of Christians. That's only true of those who have been granted faith. God is at work in you to do and to will and to do according to his good pleasure. So he says, add to your faith Christ-likeness, or you're going to be weak. Your Christian faith will be weak. It's something you got to work at, remember. We all have to work at this. Okay, now number two, the second one, and the next supplement is knowledge. This quality of the Christian life has to do with discernment in both doctrine and ethics. In other words, in what's true, doctrine, and in what's right, how we're supposed to live. He says we need knowledge. We need to be adding, increasing in knowledge in that area. And this knowledge is mined from God's Word. Where else are we going to get it? It's mined from God's Word. We're under the authority of His inspired Word. And His Word is a lamp for our feet, and it is a light upon our path. Psalm 119. Not every Christian is to be a teacher of God's Word, but everyone should be a student of God's Word, growing in knowledge, growing in discernment about doctrine and behavior. What does God say is false? What does He say is true? What does He say is right about living? What does He say is immoral, unethical about living? When you increase in Christ-likeness in your behavior and increase in your knowledge of His truth, you're gaining in spiritual strength. The third supplement for gaining strength for your journey is called self-control. They're all of that list right there before you in verses 5 and 6 and 7 and 8. Self-control. We can't grow strong on the Christian journey without exercising self-control. It means controlling your passions and desires instead of letting them control you. This covers a lot of ground. Money, entertainment, video games, alcohol, food, sleep, temper. And we all have to sleep. We're all allowed to play video games. We are allowed to have some food. We have to have it. We're even allowed, I think, entertainment. But what happens with so many people is they waste away hours of their lives with this stuff. Their life may be all about food. It may be all about sleep or slugs. You know, the concept of the slug never gets up and does anything. They may be addicted to video games. I mean, I've known young men, probably some older men too, come to think of it. Not older as like my age, but maybe, you know, in their 40s, even 50. Stayed up all night and played video games and sleep in church the next morning. Because the wife told on him. There's nobody here. Nobody in our congregation, another place, another time. But the wife came and said he stays up till 4 o'clock in the morning playing video games on Saturday night, and that's why he sits on the back row and sleeps. And, well, he was addicted. He was addicted. So we're talking about self-control. And like I said, it covers a lot of ground. The Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 23 calls it a fruit of the Spirit. That's in the list of the fruits of the Spirit. The indwelling power of the Holy Spirit of God in the Christian's life. And one of the things that we get from that is self-control. So brother and sister in the Lord, if you're having this kind of a fight, you're not alone in it. You're not alone in it. God has not left you alone to fight the battle by yourself. You have a power source from God Himself, but you may not be using it. Now again, beloved, all of these additives have to be practiced. Verse 10b says in this passage, if you practice these qualities, you won't stumble. You'll make it through the journey safe and sound. But that word practice is very important. That goes along with making every effort. Practice. I know probably everybody that's ever been on an athletic team at school, you remember like the first meeting or two with the coach and you hear that, I demand effort. You know, I believe we can be the best team in this county, but it's going to take a lot of effort. Are you going to try? Are you going to work? And, you know, down the list they go, exhorting the team about how to approach the sport. They got to practice. You got to practice a lot. So, how do athletes or musicians gain strength in their skill? How do they do that? By practice. They have to practice. Nobody just goes from, you know, their house, walks out on the North Dakota State University football field and says, I'm here. I'm going to be starting in one of these positions. No, it doesn't work that way. It takes a lot of practice to get that position. Nobody just goes from their home and goes to the Minot Symphony and carries along some kind of a musical instrument and says, well, here I am. Find me the chair, I'll sit in it and start playing with the symphony. It doesn't work that way. It took a lot of practice to get there. And so Peter says, if you practice these qualities, then you'll get benefit from it. And in the fourth supplement, he mentions a steadfastness, sometimes translated perseverance or endurance. Add to your self-control steadfastness or perseverance. And that means not giving up along the way. in the face of adversities. It means staying the course till the end. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, Paul said, "And let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." How many professing believers started out on the journey but gave up? They're no longer with us. Matter of fact, they're not with any congregation anywhere. They gave up. Jesus said in Mark chapter 13 and verse 13, "He who endures to the end will be saved." We sometimes say of a very determined person who may get on our nerves because of their dog determination, at least we say of them, they're steadfast. Can't say anything else about them, at least they're steadfast. They don't give up. And that's what God wants of us, His people, to be steadfast, to endure to the end and not give up. Sometimes Christians need to toughen up, and we need steadfastness and endurance for that. The fifth supplement He gives is godliness. Add to your steadfastness godliness. And this is where you stop and think and look at life from God's viewpoint. It's a practice. It's something you learn to practice. You learn to ask the question, what does God think about this? It's a practical awareness of God in every aspect of life. What does God think about my work? What does God think about my recreation? What does He think about the way I think politically, morally, all these things? Well, the answer to that, of course, is what does He say in His Word? Not what do I think. Not what does some professor think. Not what some modernist clergyman thinks. But what does He think? What does He tell us in His Word? And it's one of those qualities of the Christian life you have to practice. It's making His will your will. The will of God. Somebody saw on a poster one time. Matter of fact, I guess I had the poster in my office. Now that I remember. The will of God, nothing less, nothing more, nothing else. Now, that's a good slogan for what we're talking about here, godliness. And then the sixth supplement is brotherly affection or brotherly kindness. The Apostle John wrote these words, "If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar." Now, I didn't say that. John said it. And he's the Apostle of Love. That's kind of his nickname. "If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he sees cannot love God whom he has not seen." 1 John 4:20. Now we all know that this can be considerably difficult at times. It's not always easy to love certain brothers or sisters. And we all hope that we're not one of those that's not easy to love. But they are, you know, in every congregation there's one. You know, scattered through the congregation, there's going to be somebody not all that easy to love. And so, because that is considerably difficult at times, considerable emphasis is given to that in the pages of the New Testament. Have you noticed the emphasis on brotherly love in the Scripture, brotherly kindness or affection? 1 Peter 1:22, 1 John 5:1, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 9, Romans chapter 13 and verse 10, among others. I could, you know, stand here and recite many more. But you can see the emphasis on brotherly love, brotherly affection. But brotherly love, or Philadelphia, that's the word in Greek, Philadelphia. as Francis Schaeffer said, is the mark of a Christian. He wrote a book by that title, The Mark of a Christian. It's about Christian love. Brotherly love among disciples, fellow disciples. Jesus said that originally. He said in John 13:35, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. If you love one another. So this too will take thought and practice, but you'll gain increasing strength for your spiritual journey if you make effort, give diligence to practice brotherly love. The seventh and last one, the crowning quality to be practiced is love. Love. The last verse in 1 Corinthians 13 says, so now faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. And what's the difference between this love? This is the word agape. The other word was Philadelphia, love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. This is love. The word agape is love for everybody, all people, all persons. And this does not mean, of course, that you approve of all of their actions. Even in the Christian church, we do not always approve of everyone's behavior in the membership, but we still love them. Or at least we're supposed to. We're supposed to love our enemies, Jesus said. Christian love means doing what is best for the other person according to their need in keeping with God's word, whether it's emotional or material. It is charitable in the right sense of that word. It's the practice of charity, not just giving some food to the poor or something. It's treating people with love. That's being charitable to them. And this is sourced in what God has done for you already and what He now wants you to do. Since He's done it for you, now you do it for others. What did He do? Well, Jesus gave up His life for you. And surely you should be willing to love others for His sake. Oh, even people that are not nice, people that are really rough, nasty, that teacher, that boss at work, that fellow student, that next door neighbor. Well, what about that? Jesus said, love them. And it's practicing love even for enemies. And in that, we extend as far as we possibly can, the love of Christ toward others. Now, this takes practice. He says, this isn't easy. He says, be diligent. Make effort to do this. What's it going to take? It's going to take effort. 1 John 3:16. I'm not going to turn there and read it right now, but that's the verse where we're told that Jesus loved us. Now we should love others because He's loved us. Well, your Christian life is a spiritual journey to the eternal kingdom of Jesus Christ, verse 11. As you go along that way, you gain increasing strength as you put into practice these supplements to your faith. And now sometimes we'll say, you know, I don't have the strength to love an enemy. I don't even have the strength to really love a brother or sister in the church. He's not easy to get along with. I really don't have the strength for self-control. I'm just all out of control in some area of my life. I mean, you might think that to yourself. And maybe you are, for all I know. So you're saying, where does the strength come from? Well, the strength comes from, and I'm kind of going, making a circle here. I know we're really getting kind of late this morning. I'm making a circle back to the beginning of that paragraph. The strength comes from what you've already been given. You've been made a partaker in the divine nature already. You've been born again of the Spirit of God. You've been granted faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've already been given that. Now the question is, how do I gain strength? to finish well. And that comes from these qualities Peter's talking about here and the practice of them. I had a young athlete tell me recently that he hates practice. He likes the day of the contest, but he hates practice. I can understand that. Practice can get pretty miserable sometimes. But he knows that if he doesn't do the practice, the day of the contest is going to be a total failure. It's the practice that gives him the strength to do well on the day of the contest. And you see, that's what Peter is saying to us here today. Practice these things. Get in shape spiritually. And you'll receive a rich welcome into the kingdom of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When you reach the end of your journey, you will get that rich welcome by your Lord and Savior. Some people say, I'll just be glad if I get in at all. I'm just going to kind of limp in. Spurgeon used the illustration of a battered up boat being tugged up the Thames River by a tugboat because it couldn't make it in on its own steam. And Spurgeon said, I don't want to be like that beat up boat getting tugged in. He said, I want to go in with my sails out, my full sails in the wind. That's how I want to go in. Well, that's what Peter's telling us here. It's not the right attitude just to say, I'll be glad if I get in at all. Every Christian should long to see Jesus face to face in glory and hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. And if we practice these supplements, that will be the outcome. And it will be a healthy journey and we'll grow stronger and stronger and stronger. Some of us have known a story, maybe we've known personally, of a little child who starts out sickly in life. I don't know how pediatrics work nowadays. Maybe there aren't that many sickly children. But I remember a couple of kids in my first grade class who were sickly. They were sickly from birth. They couldn't play outside at recess and things like that because they just couldn't take it. And these kids sometimes grow up to be real strong physically. Well, how is that? Well, they took medicine, they took supplements, they ate well, and they gained strength for the journey. So by the time they're 16 or 17 years old, they're as healthy as anybody else in the class, if not healthier. Well, that's what Peter's saying about us and our Christian journey. You may start out sickly, but you don't have to stay that way. You can practice these divine supplements to your faith, and you'll finish in the contest real well. Your faith will bear fruit, and Jesus Christ will be glorified if you practice these things. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for giving us a divine prescription for living a strong and an increasingly strong Christian life. And we thank you for what you've already given to us in Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we pray that through the power of your word, you will increase our strength and we might go on from strength to strength in the Lord. That our lives would bear a lot of fruit for him and he would be very well pleased with us at the end of our journey. In his name we pray. Amen.